Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hi, this is Henry Gilroy, co-executive producer of Star Wars Rebels. You're listening to Aggressive Negotiations. Hello and welcome to Aggressive Negotiations, coming at you live from Canto Bight. I'm sorry if you can hear the craziness in the background. We're here celebrating Master John Mills' birthday as we record this. So, forgive the noise in the back. John, come on. No, come on.
Okay,
we got to record,
Ewoks.
Buddy.
Ewoks get out of control. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
That's what's hugging your leg.
I hope it's an Ewok. Good grief. Thank you. Yes, as always, thrilled to be here on our show, Aggressive Negotiations, which is the corner of the Star Wars galaxy that I say is populated by the brightest beacon of Star Wars love that you can find out there in the world.
I feel as though you remember in the Mortis arc, you know, there's like that star above.
Ooh, yes.
Like force power. I feel like that's us.
That is us. I like that. We are in the Mortis arc.
There
we have
go.
You just rode us into the Mortis arc. You take a bow right there because that's a great arc.
Well, you know, it's one of my favorite arcs. So, and we just both got the news as we're recording this. So, you know, this won't matter in eternity for people listening to this. But we did get some news that we will both be on panels at Dragon Con just coming up here very soon in August. So we encourage you that if you are in the Atlanta area and you would like to hang out with both of the Jedi Masters, we would love to meet you. Absolutely adore the fact that we got to meet some listeners. Come and meet us August 30th through September 3rd, 2018. We'll be down there, both of us, and we highly encourage you to come by and say hi. We're really excited to be there, honestly. And so please do come and say hello, because we want to meet people who listen. So we want to know you listen.
No. Honestly, it's exciting to think that we're gonna meet people that that could be listening to the show. But seriously, Dragon Con, its reputation precedes it. So come on down. It's gonna be a blast. The Star Wars track is well renowned for how deep dive everything gets, and you know if we're gonna be there that we are gonna be riding that wave. So come on and join us, and we'd love to see you. Absolutely, like Matt said.
And one last note is that we are a week from this release. We are going to be announcing the winner. We're going to go ahead and wrap up the review contest. So encourage you, get your name in by reviewing us over on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. So as you're listening to this now, if you haven't done so before, just stop real quick, give us a star rating and review, and that way we can have you entered, because we'd love for you to win this prize pack. We've got some great stuff in there. You know, we've raved about the Solo soundtrack. That's in there. We love Star Wars Rebels. Season 3 is in there on DVD. You got some other great stuff that'll be coming to you as well. It's a huge prize pack. So again, just get your star rating and review in there on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whichever you're using at the moment. Also, you can find us everywhere, wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Twitter at The Jedi Masters, which, follow us there. If you listen to the show and you're not following us there, please do, because, of course, we'll be live tweeting some things what we hear at Dragon Con. We'll be recording those shows, recording those panels that we're on, and we'll be sharing them with you as well. And, you'll get to see pictures of John and I hanging out with our buds there at Dragon Con, too. So we're going to be having a great time. And you may even, if you come and meet us, you may end up on our Twitter feed as well.
So that's true.
You never know. So make sure you are following us, especially as we get closer and closer to Dragon Con. And as well, John and I will be talking about the panels we'll be doing, so you can visit them and be at them if you want to be there. Plus, hit up the Nerd Party, at Join Nerd Party, follow the entire network. We've got great shows happening there. You want to check out all of these shows. John was just recently on an incredible episode of Missing Frames, where they talked about all the Mission Impossible movies, which is it's a must listen. So, yes, that's the kind of stuff that we've got going on, so make sure you check that out. And then you can find us over on thenerdparty.com. You can send us an email at thenerdparty.com/contact, choose Aggressive Negotiations, and we'll get that email. And, hey, you may have a question that we might address on the show, as we did last week. So, and then last but not least, we're on Facebook at facebook.com/thenerdparty. Please like us there. You can follow all the shows there as well. You can, John and I love interacting anytime we post a show. You know, if anybody comments, we'll come back to you about what you said. So, yeah, that's always fun. But, John, so something that both you and I had kind of been thinking about recently, and really in light of the fact that we just got on home release Rebels Season 4, we've gotten the news, obviously, from San Diego Comic-Con that the Clone Wars are coming back.
Yay!
Which, yes, is amazing. I was thinking, and we were kind of thinking to ourselves, you know, just about this journey of Ahsoka, which, you know, it's an incredible journey that this character has been on with the fans, but also just in general throughout Star Wars. And so I don't know if I have ever asked you specifically, so I kind of wanted to start here. What was your first opinion after seeing the Clone Wars movie of Ahsoka? Did she grab you? Did you like her? Were you ambivalent? How did you feel about the character when you first met her?
Well, I'm going to say that I went in with an expectation like everybody else did of surprise. Surprise is not an expectation. So let me rephrase that to say that my expectation, I was very ambivalent going in, because the idea that Anakin had an apprentice that I didn't know about was weird. It was very strange. And so I went in very standoffish about the idea of it. I can say that when the Clone Wars movie wrapped up, I had already fallen in love with Ahsoka and actually found myself at two different points getting a little choked up, because immediately the character resonated and I immediately saw the humanizing aspect that she gave to Anakin. Even if we only got the Clone Wars movie and not the whole series, just that movie alone presented all of these possibilities of everything that Anakin was given the opportunity to work past but didn't. It actually adds so much of a dimension to the story to think that there is this apprentice. And so I can securely say that at the end of the Clone Wars movie, I was already down with Ahsoka. I was already there. And then, of course, over the course of the series, I mean, you know, come on. She's become one of my favorite characters in all of Star Wars. What was your journey with her?
It's really cool that you say that, because honestly, that was my feeling as well. I came at it kind of thinking, oh, this is interesting. A Padawan. That's fascinating. Okay. But I also thought, you know, hey, George is involved in this. You know, so I'll give it, I mean, I should go in with an open mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's made things work before that I didn't know if they would necessarily work. So, and I definitely came out of that film a fan, which was funny. And I remember getting to tell that to Ashley. I met her at a book signing. And you know, she's so good about giving everybody the opportunity to really get to have a little conversation with her and everything. And I got to tell her, you know, that I was a fan from the beginning, from the first movie. And I don't think that's something she hears a lot, you know? My brother-in-law caught the picture right away where she's kind of like taken aback in that.
Yeah.
Just you could tell she has this face, like she's really touched to hear that. But you know, that's the thing. This character kind of grabbed me from the beginning, and I think, like you, the thing that was most fascinating about her was to see that the reason, the story reason for giving her a, giving her to Anakin, you know, and the fact that what I loved is that it seemed as though, you know, Yoda is very attuned to the fact mm-hmm. that Anakin does have this issue with letting go. And his desire is to help Anakin hopefully learn that lesson by being able to train a Padawan and then let that Padawan go. And I love the journey of just the character of Ahsoka in that, because, you know, one of my favorite things was when we learn why she's so close to Plo Koon and that he's right. the one who found her. And it's some of my favorite artwork too, drawing that Dave did of Ahsoka meeting Plo, where he's on his knee and she's reaching out his hand toward it. And it's one of the most beautiful pictures because there's so much emotion in that picture. But just that idea of her, and it was the beauty too of kind of seeing how Jedi recruit children, that they find these children who are strong in the Force. And they then visit their families and, you know, ask for the ability to bring them to the temple and everything. And it was a beautiful picture. And she has this, you know, it's not even her master, but there's this relationship with the person who brought her to the Jedi and to the temple. And I thought, to me, just journey-wise for that character, that was such an interesting thing because it gave us this whole little aspect of understanding that we hadn't really seen other than with Anakin, right? And his is very different because he's older, whereas Ahsoka comes into this much, much younger and then is raised. And so it kind of creates, this is what it was supposed to be like, where we'd only seen Anakin before. So to me, that was something that was really interesting about what her journey shed a light on for the Jedi and what it meant to be a Jedi youngling and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I think that's very, that really plugs into something that we have all, I think, spent very many years analyzing where Ahsoka made the right choices as opposed to Anakin, who made the wrong choices, and how they play off of each other and how they illuminate mm-hmm. each other. And I think that pointing to the Plo Koon thing is very, very interesting because of the fact that Plo Koon is still there. Sure, Anakin was taken when he was older, but Qui-Gon is immediately taken away from him. So you can't mm-hmm. help but wonder if there's something fundamental about the fact that Qui-Gon, even if he hadn't been Anakin's master, his presence, his mere presence would have provided some sort of mm-hmm. anchor, some sort of familial anchor that Ahsoka has with the Jedi Order that Anakin right. does not. And that's why Anakin is always such a loner. But, you know, none of that to excuse this or that. But I do think it's an interesting dimension to Ahsoka's character because I think it also illustrates how fully realized she is. I think that before Ahsoka, we were only used to the concept of Anakin, Luke, maybe Obi-Wan, as having a fully realized arc, a fully, you know, realized sense of past, present, and future. And so Ahsoka becomes the first real breakthrough character that isn't a Skywalker or Obi-Wan or something like that, who has a fully real... Yoda doesn't have a fully realized history. Palpatine's history is right. nebulous. Han's history is nebulous when we meet him. All of these sorts of things. But Ahsoka is very clearly realized, and I think that adds a really important dimension to her as well, especially because coming straight out of the movie, we get time with Plo Koon. We get some idea of yep. things that happened in the past, and I think that the series really needs a lot of credit for the fact that it recognized the necessity that if Ahsoka was going to be a successful character, that she had to be... she couldn't just be there. She had to be her own identity, who even though she works in conjunction with the Skywalker story, she could fully exist and we could see a story existing without Skywalkers in it that was her. And so she could, I mean, I would love nothing more than to have a series of just Ahsoka. I know that we got the book, which was very enjoyable, Ahsoka. I'd love to see more books, but a series that's just her time between Clone Wars and Rebels would be so fascinating to me because she's such a fully realized character and because they tapped into that potential over the course of two series.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that whole idea, and you know, one of the neat things too about her character is the way in which she allowed us to kind of see different parts of our main characters. You know, she brought out different sides of Anakin, and she brought out different sides of Padme. She brought out different sides of Obi-Wan, and it was interesting to kind of watch her in her journey become an amalgamation of those three people. You know, she learned, the diplomatic side from Padme, you know, the politics, all of that kind of stuff, you know, gave her a real edge, I thought, you know, especially when you think of like the episodes where she goes to, I think it's Raxus, where they meet Padme's friend, who's a senator in the...
Right.
Which is fantastic. I love that episode. You know, that's the first time she meets Lux von Terry, and you realize there are heroes on both sides. You know, it brings to life that whole idea. But you also then watch her imbibe and even portray the best parts of who Anakin is, and the best parts of who Obi-Wan is, but then also sometimes their worst parts too. So it's just, there's this wonderful thing of kind of seeing her, like she has these three different very important parent figures, plus somebody like Plo, who was another, and the way in which these Jedi children kind of end up getting raised. And I thought so interesting to kind of see that play out in her journey.
You know, I want to ask you, because you mentioned, rightly so, that Obi-Wan, Anakin, and Padme are influences on her and teachers, whether an official teacher like Anakin or leader by example. It's something that's never completely clear that I don't think is you know, naturally. It's hinted at, for instance, with Obi-Wan, that Obi-Wan at least suspects something about Anakin and Padme together, especially by Revenge of the Sith. Like, he... Obi-Wan is sort of willfully ignorant, you know, and I want to get from you, do you think things would have been different with Anakin if he had pulled Ahsoka into complete confidence about his relationship with Padme? Because Anakin very much segments corners of his life. His relationships are all very distinct. And Ahsoka is the only one that overlaps. He keeps Obi-Wan and his relationship with Padme separate from each other. Ahsoka is the one that shares in both of them in a sense because she has that student relationship with Anakin. Do you see a different branch for Anakin if Ahsoka was more brought into his confidence, or do you think that she figured it out and just was willfully ignorant the way Obi-Wan was?
You know, I think back to the last episode that she is in of the Clone Wars, and, you know, he says to her, you know, I've thought about leaving the Order. You have no idea. And she says, I know. And he realizes that moment that she does know. She knows about him and Padme. She's just never said anything. She's trusted Anakin's to do what he should do in the situations where, you know, he might be torn between the two. Maybe she's trusted him too much in that, but also she's kept his secret. She's kept his confidence in that, and he didn't even know that until then. And so what I think it does is it makes the betrayal that she feels even more so, even though Anakin always did believe in her it's all wrapped up in that decision for her to leave the Jedi Order. And, you know, I think it's something to me that is really fascinating, because I do feel as though, again, her making that decision, as I watched through the series, you know, again, and I just recently finished a rewatch of The Clone Wars, and now I'm on to Rebels, and it's fascinating to me because I don't feel like this is an impulsive decision, because you have seen her, throughout her journey, her being, I think, seeing the different sides of the Jedi, the war, getting different aspects with Padme and Plo, all and just kind of seeing the overarching of the way that the Jedi Order is going, and the galaxy itself seems to be going. I feel like she doesn't make just a snap decision. It's not necessarily made out of anger. Yeah. I feel like she really, there's a lot of reasons. There's some resentment there, but a lot of it has to do with, I think, her just feeling like, I can't trust this organization anymore. And so
do you think that she would carry any guilt? Because I always imagine that Obi-Wan carries some, at least small amount of guilt about him, in the fact that he should have said something about Anakin's choices. It should have come to a head. If he knew about the relationship with Padme, nobody wants to narc on a friend, right? But obviously Anakin is at a point where a decision needs to be forced if he's going to stay in the Jedi Order. Do you think that Ahsoka, at any point when she ponders what happens, even though she doesn't know that Anakin and Vader are the same person until Rebels, do you think when she ponders that, do you think she gains any insight or any sense of, I should have said something? I would view it as normal if I knew my friend was doing something that I should have arranged some sort of intervention about. Whatever you want to imagine it as, that would be heavy enough for that to occur. And then things went bad. I'm not responsible for my friend's choices, but at the same time, do you think Ahsoka at any point was racked with any sort of not guilt, but second guessing of, maybe I should have said something. Maybe I should have pushed the issue to force Anakin to be honest with himself at the very least about where his heart really was.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a fascinating thing. I'm thinking about that in context of, we're recording this tomorrow. We record our episode for the 602 Club on Thrawn Alliances.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking about in context of that, because one, Anakin misses him, and Padme both miss Ahsoka at that point, because during that story she's gone already. But it also reminds me of what the Emperor is doing with Thrawn and Vader at that point, which is testing their alliances to him. And so it makes me wonder if that, like your question, Anakin never has to put his alliance to really truly be tested, right? But is it Padme or is it the Jedi?
Right.
And the moments where those are almost put to the test, he fails miserably, like the Clovis arc, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just absolutely 100% miserably. So whether or not Ahsoka feels guilt about that, I think, or questions whether or not she made the right decision, I think that Obi-Wan probably feels that too. I think that they both probably carry that with him, and especially, you know, the moment that she realizes who he is in Rebels, where Vader is Anakin, I absolutely 100% think that she and Obi-Wan kind of carry that thing where they're like, you know, my friend made a really bad choice and I didn't say anything. Is there something that I could have done to have change the course of the future because I spoke up?
Right. So here's a question. Ahsoka turns out just fine. To put it so simply, we know that her journey is huge. You know, we have what happens on Malachor. We have the end of Rebels. We have this tremendous arc for her character. Who knows what the future holds? Here's hoping it holds a lot.
Yes.
And we have Luke, who becomes the hero of the galaxy, who's Anakin's direct offspring. And we've pondered before on this show and just in side conversations between each other about the Force responding to Anakin's darkness. Do you think that Ahsoka, being so in tune with the Force, her decisions were, in a sense, shaped at the very, you know, at least partially by the fact that the Force was already setting up stuff, seeing where Anakin was going? And so the Force puts Ahsoka in his path. He has the opportunity for Ahsoka to change him, and instead he resolutely continues on his path. But Ahsoka's mere arc, in a large sense, counterbalances out Anakin. Ezra counterbalances Anakin. Luke counterbalances Anakin. So there's this sense of she ties into an even larger... I mean, I just want to get your read. I mean, I see her as part of a larger response from the Force for the darkness that Anakin is going to bring.
I love the question. I think it's a really good one to ponder, and specifically because I think when we look at Ahsoka's journey, there is something very special about her, because obviously the daughter... takes the last bit of her life essence and gives it to Ahsoka to bring her back to life on Mortis. So there is something where the Force is very much at work in this character. And I think that, you know, I'd love to sit down with Dave Filoni and kind of hash out these ideas with him, because right? I think that there's got to be something to all of that, which says that, Ahsoka's choice is not just motivated to leave the Order because of the hurt feeling she has, but it's also the Force is at work keeping her alive. And then when you see like who she's become at the end of Rebels, she's standing there like, you know, Ahsoka the White, you get this feeling like she's been on a journey, much like Qui-Gon seems to have been, in search of all of these different aspects of the Force, which leads him then to be somebody who can influence life after death, you know,
right.
And then leads that to Yoda, which leads to Obi-Wan, which leads, and Ahsoka has that effect. She has that on Ezra and Kanan and their relationship. And what it seems to me is that Ahsoka and specifically Ezra and Kanan, those three characters really show that when following the Force as Jedi and Force users, giving yourself over to the will of the Force truly makes for great heroes, and it's the thing to which I think there's a part of my heart that kind of hurts that Luke is not that character when I thought he would be, but now in canon, at least up until this point, he is not. We will see what happens in 9. So I still have hope that maybe that's get turned around. But and I think this is what makes Ahsoka an incredible character and her journey amazing, is that we don't even know completely the end of her story. And
yes,
I'm still blown away by who she has become by the end of the last time we see her in Rebels. And just this arc of transfiguration, almost,
right,
put in some theological terms, from the Padawan that nobody wants to the character that we can't get enough of, you know? And, like, that seems to encapsulate
right
where we all came with this character.
And that is the most amazing thing. That's one of the things that I think really... because, you know, there's been so much talk about the negative aspects of certain people who are Star Wars fans and everything like that. And, negative fandom has always been there. But mm-hmm. I wish people would fixate more on the fact that here was a character that people they actively resisted this character. And then over time, as they got more and more exposure to her, it was like waves lapping on the shore.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
people suddenly realized, no, this is actually in the rhythm of where, you know, this is something magical that's happening right now. I struggle to think of another series that brought in a quote-unquote secondary. Ahsoka is a primary character, but she comes into the scene as a secondary character. We went into the Clone Wars movie as this is Anakin and Obi-Wan, this is Anakin and Obi-Wan, and then we suddenly realize by the end, oh, this is going to be Ahsoka's story. Oh, that's interesting. So I struggle to think of another franchise or another series that so surreptitiously brings in and subverts the story, and it's still about everything we want it to be about, but it's about this different character. You know, like it suddenly turns around, and as you look back on the Clone Wars, it's so easy for people who didn't want to embrace it to look at it and say, oh, well, this is just another Star Wars thing about Anakin. It's not. It's about Ahsoka. And then the whole arc is such a fascinating journey for the character. It's the hero journey that we all... It's a perfect counterpoint, basically, to Anakin. It's so beautiful. She even, basically, you know, you brought up Transfiguration. She descends into death, into hell, Malachor, and comes back out, which, in a sense, prefigures Anakin's own journey out of the darkness.
Yeah.
And it's so brilliant. It's so moving. It's so epic, and it's so mythical. And to think that a series... any series manages to completely subvert what you thought it was about and then turn it into something that you didn't know you wanted. Ahsoka is everything that's right about franchise storytelling that's ever happened, in my opinion.
I love the way you're putting that and where you're going with it, because I think it's the thing that makes her such a special character too, is that subversively Dave and George help us fall in love with a female character that, of course, as you were saying, nobody wanted, but it becomes everything we never knew we always wanted. And she paves the way then for all that we've gotten in Star Wars, you know. You know, the Heras and the Sabines, I think of, you know, and then, of course, she lives up with the Leias and the Jyns and the Reys, you know, like these characters that we all look to now. But honestly, you know, George was pretty adamant at the beginning that Ahsoka was going to be a female character and that we were going to follow this female Jedi. And as you said, this was in the end, it was going to really be her story and how she impacted these other characters. And I think we really see through her journey and through her eyes the Clone Wars in a whole different light. We see even Anakin in a whole different light. We see Padme in a different light. We see Obi-Wan in a different light. We see all of these different characters through the eyes of Ahsoka, and it gives us a deeper understanding for who they are, because we see them through her understanding of who they are. And in a lot of ways, she brings out the best of those characters. You know, I think, you know, there are some episodes where, you know, Anakin is teaching Ahsoka, and he is doing a great job at it, you know? I think of the Mortar Sark and the difference between as we talked about, her being in between Anakin and Obi-Wan and their different styles, you know, and seeing that play out. And there's something incredible about having a character here that we didn't see coming, but now we can't imagine not having existed. It's like, in a lot of ways, I think Star Wars could be broken up into before Ahsoka and after Ahsoka.
I agree.
I think she has that kind of impact.
And I think she answers a very intriguing question, one that everybody ponders. And, you know, it's not a one-to-one or anything, but we all ponder, what type of father would Anakin have been? And I think that Ahsoka provides a window into that. He would have been very loving, and he would have been very flawed, but he would have been, I would say that Ahsoka's evidence that Anakin would have been not a perfect dad, but he would have been a good dad. You know, like, it's so easy because he went down the road of Vader. I think if Anakin had chosen to be a family man, I think he would have been an okay father. He would have done all right by his kids.
You know, he kind of makes me wonder if, what if he had done the thing that that clone did?
Mm-hmm. Yes!
Where
gone off
left.
And lived on a farm. Yeah.
Yeah, and gone off and lived on a farm with Padme, you know, and... Or, you know, maybe, you know, she's a senator and he's just her husband, you
right.
know, and he's the stay-at-home dad, you know, for all intents and purposes. I mean, she, you get that sense, like, that Anakin could have been that guy and could have done it really well.
I think he would have been happier. I honestly yeah. think Anakin would have been so much happier doing something like that. And then not answering the call of the hero until it was time. Look, and again, you see Luke. Luke does that. Luke is the family. I mean, he's not a father, but he's part of a family until the hero's call mm-hmm. comes to him. And, you know, and that gets back to everything we've talked about with, like, Qui-Gon and pulling him out and all
right.
of those sorts of things.
Well, and then this is the thing that's so interesting about Ahsoka's journey. Is that Ahsoka learns the, again, she's the one who, she's able to learn the lessons that Anakin can't, and she can let go of things. You know, she
right.
lets go of the Jedi Order. She lets go of the thought of what her life, she thought it was going to be. And you know, we saw through the Ahsoka book by E.K. Johnson, and we see through Rebels, where it's very much about this character, finding her way in the universe and seemingly being somebody more in tune with listening to the Force and where it is taking her. Specifically, I think, you know, with that, you know, we all thought would be the end, you know, with her and Malachor.
Yeah.
Was she alive? Was she not alive? But the willingness to put herself in that place, you know, she sacrifices herself in that moment, taking on her previous master so that Ezra and Kanan can get away. So again,
right.
we see her making those moves in those places and doing those things to which Anakin could not do, not let go and put the needs of the many above the needs of the few or the one, you know, and she puts herself in that selfless place to do the most hurtful thing she can do, which is to take on a person which she still has a lot of love for. In the same way, in fact, and this is where I think it's interesting because I think she reflects so much Obi-Wan Kenobi in that moment.
Yes. No, you're absolutely right because when you said somebody she still loves, it reminds me of that moment in the episode 3 novelization
yep.
where Obi-Wan in his head is like, the problem is I still love him. I got to stop loving him right now. I got to fight him. And if you really look at it, Vader kills the two people who loved, he kills all three people who loved him the most in the world. And it's like the first murder is Padme. He kills Ahsoka. Then he kills Obi-Wan. But it's so, I love the fact that you called out the echo of Obi-Wan in that moment. That's beautiful. You're absolutely right.
Well, and then what makes it so interesting is that moment where Obi-Wan, you know, then he allows Vader to, quote-unquote, kill him. But he basically gives up his spirit, you know?
Yeah.
Very Jesus-like in that moment.
Sure.
And so, in a lot of ways, he takes away that moment from Vader. Vader doesn't win.
Right.
In that moment.
And Vader doesn't
know?
Win against Ahsoka.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really beautiful. And I think, you know, in some ways, that's kind of the echo they wanted for Luke in The Last Jedi, but that's a whole other discussion. But, you know, I find the echoes that we got with Ahsoka in the way that she influences and mirrors her, you know, her masters, whether it was, you know, Obi-Wan or Anakin or Padme and even Plo Koon. You know, because I think he has a large influence on who she becomes as well, because in a lot of ways, Plo Koon seems kind of an amalgamation of an Obi-Wan and Anakin type character put together.
Right. And he still has an influence on her. He
right.
still comes back into her life every so often. Yeah.
Yep. So, you know, I think what's so neat about this, though, and in the end, the journey of Ahsoka is one which is continuing to evolve. And as you said, you know, here we cross our fingers because we pray that, you know, Dave Filoni does have story ideas. And it does seem like there are many story ideas for Ahsoka and Sabine looking for Hera, and how might, you know, Ezra and Thrawn and all that stuff play into. And my thought process is just a little speculation real quick. I would say after episode 9, that's when we may see that series, and that Dave then plays with the universe through animation.
Any way you want to give me some more Ahsoka, I'm on board. Yeah. Seriously, give me more. Give me more. I all the Ahsoka all the time. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, shut up and take my money. Sold. All right, put Ahsoka's name on it. I'm on board. Absolutely. Well, even how about a standalone movie with Ahsoka? Ahsoka, a Star Wars story. Done.
I'm done. Well, and this, I like what you said too. You know, I feel like with the Disney streaming service, you know, this is a place where, man, wouldn't it be great to get like Ahsoka movies of the week, you know, and they're like an hour long and they're just telling an aspect from parts of her life, you know, especially between the Clone Wars and Rebels, filling in that time period with her. Like, I just feel like it would be so awesome. Like, talk about making it worth our while to have that service. I would be paying for that service just for that.
Oh my God! No, have her be honestly. You know what I'd love to see? I would take your pitch. I love your pitch, and then I would tweak it a little bit, and I would say, you know what? Make her like Kane from Kung Fu, right? Ooh, walking the earth, going around, going where the force takes her, and then making a difference in people's lives. How awesome would that be? It's almost like it's literally Kung Fu, but with Ahsoka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's kind of what she ends up doing when she becomes Fulcrum, you know?
That's right. Yeah.
That's her goal, is to help restore the galaxy through bringing, you know, these sects of rebel cells together and stuff. So, yeah, there's so much. It reminds me of the Solo, you know, stuff we were talking about last week, where there's just so much story that you could do with these characters that we truly care about. And, you know, on the streaming service, that really, I think, is a place where you can give fans that stuff, right? And and I think, you know, if anything from Clone Wars Saved speaks at all, it shows just how much this show meant to fans, and how the generation that grew up with it is now the generation to which is most invested in Star Wars. And, you know, I'll be honest, you and I did not grow up with Clone Wars.
Nope.
But Clone Wars touched us in a way to where it became as important as the original trilogy, as the prequels. To me, Clone Wars is just as important. And I feel honestly the same way for Rebels now, too, once it's ended. And so I think that it all comes down to, and it all starts with this thing. Like, I don't know if I'd care as much about the Clone Wars or Rebels if we hadn't had the story of Ahsoka so richly tied into that. And I can't even think of it, her not being a part of those things. And so, therefore, when I think of that journey, all I think of is you created something that kept me going in Star Wars for another 20, 30 years just because of one character's arc. And that is huge.
I completely agree. Absolutely.
Man. Well, I think we could probably wax eloquent about her journey and everything. But again, crossing our fingers for more. If you're listening, Mr. Filoni, we just put at your feet the request for more Ahsoka, and then we quietly back ourselves out. And John, if anybody would like to talk to you about their Ahsoka experiences or what they love about the character, and see what else you're up to, where can they reach out to you?
You know, look for Kessel Junkie on Twitter. That's where I usually am. You can find me lurking around other places as well. As Matt mentioned at the beginning of the show, I'll be at Dragon Con. I'll be on a panel there. I would love to meet anybody who is out there. I know that we both would. And I can also say that you can find me here on the network on Great Shot Kid, and you can find me out there in the ether co-hosting Words with Nerds with my pal Craig. So, Matt, I'm but a tiny voice out there on the internet. You, sir, are the loud voice on the internet. Where can people find you?
Well, gosh, after that, I don't know what to say other than please do look me up on Twitter, MattRushing02. I'm on Instagram under the same name. Now, I am also here on the network doing Owlpost with Drea Kaufman. We talk through the Harry Potter series one chapter at a time. We are in the middle of the Goblet of Fire, which has been a lot of fun to revisit, and we're just having a blast with that show. It's really been a joy to walk through that series this way. And if you love it, or you know, maybe you're just starting to read it, I mean, we've had people from all over the spectrum listening to the show, so it's a lot of fun. Check it out. I'm on the 602 Club.
Before you go on, I want to say that yes, if you have wanted to get into Harry Potter or you want to get deeper dive into Harry Potter, Owlpost is a great way to do it. I have I can vouch for it. It is a terrific show. If you love Harry Potter, tune into it.
Thank you. I really appreciate that because, you know, it's what we go for is to try and balance between people who have, you know, maybe read it 1,000 times. And then maybe, I mean, again, we've had people who just started reading the series when we started the show. So it's been a fun thing to watch people kind of find Harry Potter or re-find Harry Potter. So that's been really cool. You can also find me on the Trek FM network. I do a couple of shows over there. I do The Orb with Chris Jones as we talk about Star Trek Deep Space Nine. We are getting back to being more regular again, so we're really excited for that. So make sure you check that out. I do the General Geek Show. I mentioned 602 Club. You know, John and I are over there frequently talking about things. We just did our own Fallout review. We're going to be on there talking about Thrawn Alliances, so make sure you check that out. And then last but not least, I do a show called Cinema Stories with my good friend Courtney as we talk about films, but through the lens of faith. So after all of that, John, I think there's only one thing left to say. I think it's time to close negotiations.
Master Rushing, negotiations are closed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.